The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Star Wars 7x7 episode 3555. The Harbinger is episode 9 from season 3 of The Bad Batch. And yes, it's about time that that character finally made her appearance in the season. Punch it! Hey Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod, and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy. And thank you so much for joining me for it. And thank you so much to the patrons who help support the creation and production of this show every single day with their help at patreon.com/SW7X7. All right, The Harbinger is the 9th episode from season 3 of The Bad Batch. This is our patented 7 takeaway breakdown episode, and we will do this as we do with our quick overview of the episode at the top, which, I'm trying to resist jumping into it like that quickly, but there's no help for it. Asajj Ventress has made her return, and this first appearance in The Bad Batch tells us very little about how it's possible. We will dig into all of that in due course, but the gist of the situation is, that Asajj is the person that Fennec Shand reached out to, and Asajj goes to deliver information about the M count, but she has her own payment. You know, it's always a quid pro quo with these bounty hunters and whatnot. Ultimately, what happens is Asajj is able to test in some fashion whether Omega herself has a high M count, a high midichlorian count. Now, yeah, how she can do that without a blood test, yeah, whatever. Anyway, based on her various explorations with Omega, it doesn't seem like Omega has any M count to speak of. And the Bad Batch themselves, of course, are initially suspicious, and then when they figure out exactly who Asajj Ventress is, they're super suspicious. A fight ensues, and it doesn't help anything. So ultimately, Asajj leaves the planet, and Bad Batch is really not much better off than they were before. They know, or at least they think they know, that Omega has no M count to speak of, and they've been given a warning from Asajj that maybe they're not as safe as they might think they are. For our second takeaway, let's just get to it. Asajj Ventress makes her return. So I've run the numbers, and it looks like it is maybe 2 years, like give or take a month, since she allegedly passed away during the events of the Dark Disciple novel by Christy Golden. We're getting to that calculation because it was still during the Clone Wars when she seemingly passed away, and the Bad Batch, where we are right now, we are more than 18 months past the fall of the Republic. So yeah, we're pretty close to the 2-year mark, and she certainly doesn't seem any worse for wear. The members of the Bad Batch, even with Crosshair not necessarily being at 100%, I mean, the three of them should be a significant challenge to anyone. Asajj Ventress is probably at the top of the food chain, comparatively speaking, and the way that she runs through the three of them is just as impressive as you would expect it to be. And also just kudos to the animation team, because the sequence of them fighting is really well done. It actually feels like it's a step up from all the stuff that they've done already this season. There are moments of it when I actually wondered whether they had done something similar to what they did with season 7 of the Clone Wars with the fight between Maul and Ahsoka, where they actually had live action people working out on that fighting and the animation is based on their stunt choreography. But in addition to the fearsome fighting that we get from her, we also see a softer side of her in her communing with nature, getting those glowing stingrays to swim around, and then being able to tame that giant sea beast, and we'll have a word or two to say about that a little later. But we haven't really seen Asajj communing with nature in the way that some Jedi do, and so we're actually getting to see her good side, her light side of the Force, if you will. So she definitely seems to be a changed person after the events of Dark Disciple. For a third takeaway, I think I need to issue an apology to Fennec Shand, because boy oh boy, at the end of that last episode, it sure seemed like she was ratting the Bad Batch out. And now it seems like, nope, she was actually calling Asajj and telling her, hey, these are the people that are interested in the Sem Count business, and you can go check them out if you want. And so now I'm kind of starting to go the other way about this, basically thinking about Fennec Shand and Asajj Ventress looking at Omega and thinking, oh yeah, she definitely needs to be protected from the Empire. You have Fennec Shand talking in the previous episode about how she hasn't taken one of these high, you know, M count target bounties from the Empire, so we never really answered the question why that's the case, why she hasn't taken on one of these, even though the implication is that she is one of those class one bounty hunters that could do it. And it sure seems like Asajj has no love for the Empire, and therefore would probably not hunt down any high M count targets for the Empire herself, let alone any other target for the Empire. And when you think about it, it makes a kind of sense, if you will. Like, if you assumed that she was just fully on the side of the Separatists still, then it would put her basically in the same category as like a Cassian Andor, where she was against the Republic when it was the Republic, and then the Republic transformed to the Empire, but it's still, you know, the same group of people, just with a different name and a different kind of authoritarianism and manifest destiny outlook on the galaxy. So yeah, they would kind of have a natural kinship in that way, I suppose. For a fourth takeaway, I'll talk about the testing real quick. I was actually kind of surprised that there was no mention of not being able to do a blood test, right? I mean, we know that this technology exists, and Asajj knows that it's something in the blood, but she's like, yeah, but I don't have any testing equipment on me, so we'll have to figure this out another way. Like, you know, one line, yeah, I would have liked to see that, because I was just sitting there wondering, why don't they just test her blood? Like, I wish somebody would just say something about that. But it's fine, it's okay, it's no big deal. Instead, Asajj has Omega perform a set of tests, as she describes it. And what she's necessarily looking for, I think she's just looking for some kind of latent force power to potentially show itself. She's just listening for any stirrings in the force from Omega. And it got me thinking actually about Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker back in A New Hope. So it's one thing to know that, hey, this kid is the son of one of the most powerful Jedi that ever lived, but it's another thing to know whether he actually received the inheritance of that force ability, right? And so how would Ben have necessarily known that? Would he have sensed some inkling of the force around Luke at some point prior to the events of New Hope? Or was the first time he felt it when they were on the Millennium Falcon and Ben was training him with the little remote flying around and the blast shield down on the helmet? Either way, that's what I think was happening with Asajj and Omega. That Asajj was basically putting Omega through some paces that might reveal some sort of ripple in the force, and ultimately there was none. For a fifth takeaway, let's just chat about Crosshair really briefly. So there's a funny little opening moment in the episode where Wrecker and Crosshair are helping with a fishing thing, and one of the Pabu residents says, you know, thanks Crosshair, and they're walking away, and Wrecker punches Crosshair and says, ah, you're making friends. And you know, Crosshair, for him, that's basically teasing, because of course he doesn't want to even think about that idea. Like, that's not who he is, and he's kind of surly for being called out on it. But this is another sign that he is cracking open emotionally another little bit. And I will say that it's one thing earlier in the season for him to have helped Omega escape from Tantus, but yeah, there was definitely something grudging about his participation in the whole effort, per se. And yet, he did it. Now, we are in episode 9, and the way he's talking about Omega, about how, you know, we'll never hand them over to the Empire, or hand her over to the Empire, or anything like that, the level of protectiveness that he is demonstrating toward her is yet another emotional step forward for him. For a sixth takeaway, I'll flag one of the things that Ventress says at the end of the episode. She tells the Bad Batch that they may not be safe at Pabu, and they might want to consider leaving this place. Now, Asajj makes it clear that she was able to find them just because, you know, she has her ways and whatnot, but, you know, it's not necessarily that magical, right? Fennec Shand gave Asajj some information, and Asajj is a bounty hunter now, so yeah, it... It stands to reason that she would have the tools to find them a lot more easily than other people. However, she does try to warn them that, you know, it's not a safe place. And that really seems to be where the title of the episode, The Harbinger, comes from. Because The Harbinger, it means it's like a warning of bad things to come. And what else has been done in this episode to suggest that except for her warning there at the end of the episode? And for a seventh and final takeaway, we'll do a couple of fun fact things. First of all, that giant behemoth in the water, that's called a Vrathian. And yes, that now makes us 22 out of 41 episodes where some enormous beast has appeared in the Bad Batch, so still batting over 500. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think this is the only time we're going to see Asajj Ventress in the Bad Batch. I mean, yes, they certainly closed off this story, and so, yeah, we could go through the season without her, and we would not be any the wiser, right? Like, we wouldn't feel like we were missing anything or that there hadn't been some closure on something. But I gotta say, it seems like it's a lot of work to bring Asajj back into animation and to bring her character back to life to only have her in one episode, even just from a production standpoint. Yeah, it doesn't seem likely, so I'm betting she's going to be back before all is said and done with the Bad Batch. But I'd love to hear what you think about that. Do you think this is Asajj's only Bad Batch appearance, or will we see her again? If you're catching this on YouTube, comments are right there. On Spotify, the question and answer thing's right there. Use that. Anywhere else, head over to the blog post for this show's episode at sw7x7.com. Leave a comment on the blog post there. And that is going to do it for this episode of the podcast. If you enjoy the show, I'll just give you a quick reminder. Please leave a rating or review on your favorite app if you haven't done it already. And please consider hitting a like or follow or join or subscribe button, whatever the app offers you. And just tell other friends that you know that this daily dose of Star Wars joy exists for them. Every little bit helps the podcast succeed. And there's also the Patreon page at patreon.com/sw7x7, which helps support the creation of this one-man show and has done so for almost 10 years now, which is absolutely crazy, but there it is. And so it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode, as always, and may the Force be with you wherever in the world you may be.
7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited, or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.